part of that original land grant.
No.
But that's
Now, incidentally, I bought this property from Ex Pellissier in 1948.
So, how much property did he own?
Oh, Ex was a large property owner. I'd say back in those days, he probably had, at the time I bought this, he had about, I'd say, 6,000 acres, of which I bought this 2,500 here, and then my dad bought 1,000 from him. And then he went on, he bought all this Arnold land down here, which was about, I'm just guessing again, 5,000 acres. And they sold that to Container Company, who owns it now.
Is your father is a farmer, was a farmer?
Yeah, my farm, Art, that property right there that was deeded to my grandmother by President Arthur, they was in the milk business.
Oh, dairy farm.
Dairy farm, right. And they run a dairy farm there until 1952 when I closed it up. I was one that closed it up because of bad economics.
And then you started this farm?
Well, I bought, like I say, I bought this place in 19, well, actually, I gained control of it in 47, you know, on an option. And I had all the intentions of the world. I was even getting bids to build a dairy barn out here, to put the dairy out here. But during the interim, economics in the milk business got so bad, the chains was taking it over. And I complained to the Florida Milk Commission about some of the practices that they was trying to put off on the farmer. So I got out of the business about 6 months.
Yeah, I bet.
I was told not to write the Florida Milk Commission anymore.
Oh, boy. I bet.
But I have no remorse about it, because at that time there was 16 dairies in the county, and today there is one, and he's in bankruptcy.
That's terrible. Well, I think it's still going on today. What kind of farming do you do now?
Well, I was doing potato farming, and I was up here in the cold, the northern fringes of the area, and the company that I was dealing with was making me meet the digging schedules that only the people in Federal Point could meet and come up with a proper tonnage to pay out. And And I stayed with them 16 years, and it was just getting worse and worse. And I kept asking them, you know, to let me dig a couple of weeks later, and they wouldn't do it. So I just lost all I would lose, and I quit again.
So are you farming now?
I'm just running cattle out here now.
Cattle farming.
Just cattle. And I'm relatively new in the cattle business. I got the first beef cows that I had was given to me by Mr. C.H. Arnold, who used to be one of our, you could really write a story on him, but he's not a member of the Menorcan colony.
Yeah.
And he gave me two cows in 1948 for pasture rent. I leased him this after we bought it. He was running just range cows, and then he gave me two cows in 1948, And I've been in ever since then. But like I say, I'm a newcomer.
Right.
Because Albert Tree, I see, and the Pacetti family up the road here, they have had cows, for 150 years. Like, we go back in the dairy business that far, see.
Were most of the Menorcan families who came here, were they farmers?
I would say most of them were either farmers or fishermen, one. Wouldn't you?
Story of the Menorcans is in that book.
Right. It seems like they did come over as farmers and fishermen.
Well, they come over here. Dr. Turnbull brought them over here to grow indigo.
Right.
So he didn't bring no bankers over here to grow indigo, see?
Well, what exactly is the story of Menorcan agriculture? You've been saying there's a story to tell about the county.
Well, it's where I say, right here, let me show you. It's all right. See, here's another Eugene. See, he was in the legislature for about 25 years. That's Gary's dad. Let me show you. I can show you right here if I can find it.
Baby.
Watch out now. They always give the fishing industry a big play. But we had, for example, it gets out of the Menorcan community now. Howard Mizell, who was, he's still living, I'm just guessing, 93 years old. And he runs sawmills up here in Nassau County. And his family was probably in the sawmill business 100 years prior to that. In the sawmill industry was probably going shortly before or shortly after they started fishing around here 400 years ago. And it's never had a prominent place, you know, in the historical documentation.
Right. Well, of course, this would have been all virgin.
All right. See right forest, there. See the shrimp boat industry.
Oh yeah.
See now they make no, and that bow stem right there probably come off of a piece of land right here in our county. See. See now here's used to be the richest man in our county. Of course, he's dead now.
Mm-hmm.
Herbert Wolf.
Herbert Wolf.
Yeah, he owns a big ranch right up the road here. But that's been my complaint. You know, given the people in the turpentine industry, in the timber industry. Now, ex Pellissier, he can really enlighten you on this stuff probably better than I can. But like I say, his interest is mostly around town.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now here is the fisherman. Let's see right there, and not trying to detract nothing.
Oh, yeah, right, but they do have a big
thing
on the fishing industry and not on the...
And you don't see one thing in there about the turpentine. No, it might be one small spread in there about the turpentine and the sawmill industry. And a very few years ago... You know, they discovered an old sawmill down at Pellissier Creek.
No.
Yeah. Some man up in Maryland did it.
Uh-huh.
But you can go to the Historical Society, and they can give you the briefings on it. And
Well, now, with the timber industry, is that something that I guess everybody in the area would have been equally involved in, or were there some... sawmills that were particularly Menorcan
Well, I can't think of any sawmills that was particularly more Menorcan. Their play in, you know, would probably be just landowners.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of any. Let me see.
Every one of these,
they
said they were farmers. One's a stonecutter. He is a farmer with 2 acres.
See right here, I just made this note right there. In other words, this book has 183 pages, and there's only 15 pages reference to the county. And it's natural, you know, that they go to the population centers. I can understand that.
But still, yeah.
But the turpentine industry probably started in this county. I don't know. But I know it used to be a big turpentine still right here. Did you notice DuPont steel buildings on your way out here? All right. Just a little ways this way past them on that high white sand ridge. It used to be an old turpentine steel right there, see? And there's no more pictures of it or anything like that.
But is there anyone around still who would have worked in turpentine who would know?
There's some black people, but like they all tell me, I've contacted many of them. They was all too poor to have cameras and so they didn't take pictures.
Yeah. Well, what I'm thinking is for our particular purpose, we just want to talk to people who could talk about how it was done and maybe even show people how it was done.
Oh, I'm going to give you some names. Yeah.
Oh, good. But we're particularly looking for Menorcans. That's the other thing.
Right.
So.
Well, in this one instance, now, Albert Trei.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get the Hastings telephone book and we'll get his number.
No. And he doesn't live.
He lives in Hays, well, in Elton.
That's T-R-I-A-Y.
T-R-A-Y, yeah. T-R-I-A-Y.
And he's a
Minorcan.
Uh-huh.
And he is a lifelong cowman, and he can really give you some nice stories about it.
Okay.
The cow industry. Okay. And his wife was raised on a turpentine still. Her dad.
Oh, okay.
Her dad used to be, you know, what they call a woods rider and a manager of turpentine.
Uh-huh.
Now you have to look into Hastings because that's, you know, the only place they go. RST. Art Albert. TRIKY.
Yeah.
692-1040.
1040. Where is Hastings? Is that near Elton?
Oh, that's he lives, I'd say, about 10 miles from here.
Mm-hmm. Because I've heard that Elton is a large Moxon branch, large. Mm-hmm. Minorcan.
Right, see, Elton was founded by a Minorcan, Mr. Genevar.
Genevar,
yeah, Phil,
right.
Yeah, Phil Genevar's dad.
Pop, what's that kind of boat?
That's a fishing boat.
Fishing boat.
Mm-hmm.
Police car.
Mm-hmm, that sure is. Well,
Gaby, bring me that county atlas here. You know where it is? That county, you know that county atlas that we got from the state? I thought it might be some of the little range cows in here.
There's some cows in here.
But you take some of these old folks, like the Pacettis out there in Albert.
Mm-hmm.
See, they made their living from cows. And I mean, it was tight.
Pacetti, is that P-S?
P-A-C-E-T-T-I.
E-T-T-I.
Yeah.
Now, are they, they're Italian?
Yes, they're Italian.
Baby.
But they would have maybe come over at the same time.
They are, that's right.
There's a baby.
They are part of the Minorcan colony, yes, both of them.
Right, because it was Italians and Greeks and Minorcans.
And Minorcans and, Where did you put the phone book at, Gaby? Yeah, but see, Richard Pacetti, he is a very successful farmer.
Uh-huh.
Today, and I would certainly, you know, encourage you to talk to him.
Okay.
Yeah, Gustin, well, I don't know whether... Well, I'd rather...
Oh, really?
I'd rather send her to Richard than he could work Gus up, see,
because Ruby, yeah, but Ruby probably would know more of those women.
And then...
Oh, yeah.
And then...
Because she can cook all that stuff.
And then what's that Ortega's lady's name?
Lorna.
Or? Lorna, yeah, it's Hiram.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
Lorna Ortega's.
And this
Horsey. Horsey.
Marilyn Ortega's.
Horsey.
All right, that's, what's her name?
Lorna, L-O-R-N-A.
Lorna Ortegas.
Uh-huh.
You got that down?
Yeah.
All right, then it's listed in the phone book as Hiram F. Ortegas.
Okay.
On the Pacetti Road.
Okay.
And her phone number is 829-5695.
And she'd be a good contact, mm-hmm, for women's handiwork.
Oh, yeah.
She and Ruby Pacetti.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I believe she can tell you something, put you in touch with somebody about some of that weaving, see?
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, that's great. I want to ask you, too, about the Easter Festival. What exactly happens? I'm not real clear. Is it the cathedral,
yeah,
that holds
the
it?
Cathedral.
Uh-huh.
On Sunday, we have Blessing of the Fleet. That is the first official appearance of the royal family. It'll be Palm Sunday.
Okay. And there's a blessing down at the wharf down,
yeah,
there?
You know where the bayfront is, where the pier is. They,
yeah,
sit out here. They walk. They leave the cathedral after 11:30 Mass with the Navy. The Navy leads them down the street carrying a big cross of flour, or an anchor of flowers that they throw overboard. They throw it into the water.
Okay.
And all the shrimp boats, everybody that has boats, parade, they pass and the Monsignor Jordan usually does it, blesses each boat as they go by the foot of the dock. And the king, queen, and princess stand there with him. I've got pictures if you want to see it of the girls.
Oh, yeah.
And the entourage, they form a procession from the cathedral. They walk down Cathedral Street to the bay, down Bay Street, and out on the pier. It's beautiful.
Oh, imagine.
It's gorgeous. I mean, everybody, yeah. The cameras, everybody's in town that weekend looking,
Oh,
that.
Sure.
It's really neat.
Now, what exactly is the king, the queen, and the princess?
Well, they have to be heritage natives.
Of Minorcan family,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They have to, and they're chosen in December. We'll know in December who the next king, queen, and princess will be.
Who chooses that?
The past queens and their committee.
I see. And then they symbolize the king?
The queen mother and the king was a 10-year-old boy, and then his sister's the princess.
Now that was the royal family.
That's the family. It's the family that was reigning at the time of the fort. 1573, is it? Anyway, it's to do with the fort.
Okay.
It's who was reigning in Spain at the time the fort was constructed.
I see. And it's something that started, the Minorcan community started the festival, right?
Well, Mrs. Barnes, Eleanor Phillips Barnes, is the one that really got it going.
Right. When did she start doing that? Do you know when the first festival?
25 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, last year was their 25th anniversary. Sure was.
25 years ago. Yeah, we've talked with Miss Barnes. She's a great lady. She'll talk your ear off.
Right. You can't get
I know. Before I could even say what I was doing, she was off and running. And but she did mention that we haven't been to see her. I talked with her over the phone, and she did mention the festival and that that was something that she started and felt was important thing. Now on Easter, does anything happen between
Easter Sunday? Well, all during the week they make different appearances, different places. But then Easter Sunday, there we have the Easter parade, and they each ride the king. The king leads the parade on horseback, with his duke and his court, his pages, and they all ride horses. Then comes the queen. The princess will come next, I think, and then the queen.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they ride in the carriages with the Marquesa, and then the princess has what they call the Duchess, rides with her. And the Marquesa rides with the queen. And they each have, the queen will have two pages, and the princess has two pages. Little boys.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Because our son was a page one year.
That's great.
And see, one of the criteria to be a member of the royal family, you must have Minorcan heritage.
Mm-hmm.
That's the rest of it. If you don't have Minorcan heritage, you can't be a member of it.
Of the family. Now, what about after the parade? Is there some kind of...
They have...
The next day is Minorcan Day.
Minorcan Day.
Monday is Minorcan Day. And they have a reception, on the corner of Hippolyta and St. George Street. Spanish house. They call it the Spanish consulate's house or something. Anyway, that's where they have Minorcan Day.
And what happens on Minorcan Day?
Nothing. The royal family just makes an appearance.
I see.
They have entertainment and refreshments and just really...
Do they have Minorcan food, like the refreshments would be?
Well, like I think it's about, say, every day there's something that goes on that week.
Yeah.
And I think it's usually on Thursday nights they have what they call the Framajadas. And that's down at the oldest house.
Oh, I know where that is.
Well, that's where they have that.
Thursday night.
And I think it's usually on Thursday night. It's one night during that week. And they have the Framajadas.
Now, there used to be a long time ago the Easter song, the Framajadas song. Do they ever do that anymore? Like they used to have young men used to carol around and...
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much died out.
But
that's something...
I made reference to Mrs. Jennifer back up there earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, her son, he's the president of the Easter Week Festival Committee.
Oh, he is?
Phil, yeah.
Phil Jennifer.
And he runs that Dixie Custom. Auto sales on right across from Kmart.
Okay.
They sell just trucks.
Dixie
Custom.
Custom.
You'll see him.
And he's the head of the festival. Okay. So, and they'll be picking the queen and the everything soon. And that will happen on Easter, which will be right before, actually, this festival. So they'd still have the same queen and all of that. Yeah.
But get back to your interest, you know, in the timber, the timber of our county. You take from the time the white man first come to our county and the evolution of ownership of the land from the Indians to the settlers, and then investors come into the scene, and then it has finally wound up in large corporate ownerships. See, I would say probably, half of our county right today, timberland is owned by large paper companies.
Oh yeah, I know the...
And this is Palm Sunday. This is when she came in. This is the front of the cathedral is completely reserved for the royal family.
And these are all court.
And this is them leaving. And this is them leaving the cathedral, coming down the street.
Where is the King of Spain at in there, Karen?
And this is going out on the pier to the blessing of the fleet.
Oh gee, that's great.
And that's Laura. See, they're standing there with them, blessing. They stand right on the entrance. And this is the parade. That's the carriage she rode in.
Look at the carriage. Oh boy.
And these are just snapshots we took. And now this right here.
Is this the Monsignor?
No, this was when they had the dedication of the cathedral to Basilica Cathedral, and Laura was princess. This is a Monsignor. He used to be here. He was just a priest, and he baptized her. I used to work for him. And he was here from Texas, so I got their picture.
Oh, that's terrific.
Well, he's a bishop now.
He's the bishop
out in Texas.
Oh, my.
So I got her. Now, this is when they, this is the reception we had after the parade.
I see. Now, who's, is he the king?
This is Randy Pacetti. Yeah, he was the king. And this, she was princess, and this was the queen. And these were Miss Florida and, I don't know, Miss O.J. Brake or something.
Oh.
Over at the...
Uh-huh.
And this is the king, queen, and princess at the reception.
Oh, that's great.
Here's Phil Genevieve right here.
Now, when does the reception happen?
It's that night after the parade.
After the parade. And that's at the...
Now, this is Menorcan Day. She's coming across the street. They form a procession over across the street, and they walk across the street. And this is their day costumes. This is not their formal costumes.
Oh, my.
See, they don't wear their tiaras in the daytime.
I see, they wear hats. Yeah. Oh, that's great. The costumes are beautiful.
And this is Menorcan Day at the...
And that's the entire court.
They have what they call a courtyard. That year they did it on top of the fort. And each year they knight three people for outstanding service. Charlie was knighted last year.
Great.
And that last year they had it in the Leitner Museum. The year that Laurie was princess, they had it on top of the fort. They have it in different places.
Yeah.
And this is her coming into the fort that night.
That's beautiful.
And this, then the king, queen, and princess give a tea in the afternoon.
Really?
And this was when we had it.
That's gorgeous. I love the costumes. I see, and this is part of the tea. Nice.
These are just snapshots of
them. Part of the ceremonies and everything. That's great.
See, and they have what they call transfer of office, too. Which they give the crowns and the gavels and the, everything they change. They go in formal attire. And the old king, queen, and princess come in the costumes, and they give
the new
tiaras and stuff, too.
When does that happen?
That's usually in about March, February, March, something like that.
I see, yeah, before anything would have been happening.
It's probably in this book. Yeah, here's the picture. This is the picture that announced her being princess. There's the picture that was in the paper.
Oh, yeah.
And a letter she got. Invitations that we sent out. And this is the picture that was... These were in the paper announcing who was going to be. And this was the transfer of office right here.
Oh, I see. That's where they actually, got the... that's great.
This is it right here. See that she just wore evening gown.
Hmm. Did you have to make the costume?
No, I haven't made it. I didn't look at the road and made it.
Is that, I mean, is there some kind of a pattern that you can use?
It has to be an actual color.
Really?
Yeah. Nobody else can wear that color.
Was that something that would have been traditional, or?
I don't know. Yeah. It has to be that color for the princess. No one else in the entourage can wear that
can
color.
Can wear that color, but she has to wear that. That's really interesting.
Jamie, go give me a piece of
foot,
baby.
Oops, careful, honey.
No, but when you get off in, you know, what I've expressed a interest in is, you know, the timber and the agricultural parts of our county. You get in outside of the Menorcan community, and just to give you an illustration, the Cummer family.
C-U-M-M-E-R, the Cummer Gallery up in
Exactly. But that's, as I understand it, that is a different family than the big landowners.
Oh, I see.
But now Mr. Wellington Cummer told me that himself, see. Mm. But they probably all started as members of the original Cummer lumber family down around Ocala, someplace like that. But anyway, Mr. Cummer today still owns approximately 10% of our county between here.
But probably the large paper company.
Well, he's got at least a container company, see?
Yeah.
And of course, he is Mr. Cummer. He is, I'm going to say 70-ish. And, but it's a rather fascinating story out there.
Yes.
And you want to look at that? And there used to be an old man right down the road here that I knew as a kid. He used to be one of the early loggers, and believe it or not, that he used to cut these cypress trees in one tree, made a truckload. I'm not talking about one tree cut up in several lengths. I'm talking about one length of one tree. That's all he could put on the truck. It was so big around.
Yeah.
And probably had to make two or three loads from one tree.
That's
incredible. Especially, wish some of those were still around. So
I have. There's a man that I just spoke to him about an hour ago, and he has that picture of that big log his dad had on the truck that day, and he says it's in bad shape, and I reassured him that I would have it restored, you know, and give it back to him, but we could get some copies of it. See.
Oh yeah.
And so he told me he'd bring it out. I was just talking to him about an hour or so ago.
Oh, wow.
And
well, that's, you know, that is something that we would be interested in.
Now, don't take this off, baby.
We're interested in a little bit of everything.
Go get me a little one. Go get me a little one. Here, take this one back.
Because there are a lot of things that we're interested in knowing about, which... you know, the farming, the fishing, the timber, the turpentine. Of course, that was all across North Florida. Timber and turpentine were real important.
Right.
But if Menorcans, of course, became part of the Florida heritage and then started doing that themselves, then that's something that we need to know about too.
But I don't know of any, you know, Menorcan families that was in the turpentine business or the sawmill business, but it might be before my time, which ex-Pellicer, you know, could bring you up on that.
Okay.
But, just one's all in one, baby.
Are there any particular specialties that Menorcan farmers are noted for? Like, I know daddle peppers, of course, are something that you don't hear outside of the Menorcan community, which is one crop that I guess a lot of them are still grown around here, daddle peppers. People make jelly and all that. Is that something, I mean, are there other things that you can think of that the Menorcans?
Daddle peppers, they're just growing, you know, more or less in people's backyards, because one or two or three plants will give a family way more peppers than he could ever use, and they were always putting them up in vinegar, you know, and passing them around to the neighbors and that type of stuff.
Yeah.
They do that even right to this day. But any specialty colony that brought us from New Smyrna up here, and I chastise him all the time, you know, if Mr. Pellissier had to turn south instead of north, and would have went to Miami, maybe the Menorcans would own Collins Avenue today.
Yeah. True. And,
he don't particularly appreciate it.
Yeah.
all right, let's see. This is St. John's County right here.
Yeah.
All right. Now, see, we're sitting right here right now. All right. Right there's Elton. See,
there's Elton. Okay.
All right, now see, you could leave my house and go down here to 207, see?
Uh-huh.
And turn right and drive right into it.
I see, yeah.
Now, to get you to that tree-eyes house, see, you go up here, there's a forest tower right there.
Uh-huh.
Florida Forest Service Tower.
Uh-huh.
Go on past it about a quarter of a mile and you turn left down that, we call it Canal Road, locally speaking, they call it 13A. When you get down here to 214, that's King Street. Continuation of King Street, see?
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
And then you'd turn right for about a quarter of a mile, and then there's a little country store they call Molasses Junction right there.
Uh-huh.
And then you stop there, and he could probably tell you, you know, a little more closer. But you turn left on this road right here and go down. All right, I believe this is 305. Where's 305?
Well, here's 305.
All right, 305. All right.
And here's 305 right here.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. All right. Now, 305. Watch out, Jamie, please. See, 305 has since been built all the way over 13.
Oh, I see.
And Mr. Tree Eye lives right there.
Oh, I see. Right in the middle.
Right in that, no, right in the corner.
Yeah. Okay.
And you're going down that road, you can
13A.
See him.
Yeah.
13A.
Hmm.
And I would really like to see you talk to him.
Yeah.
Because like I say, they made their living and have all their life strictly off of cows.
Right.
And he could, you know, really tell you, you know.
Some of the traditions that we'd be looking for with cattlemen are, do you ever use horses to round up your cows?
He's an expert at it, Mr. Tria.
See, now that's something that.
And whip making.
Does he make whips?
Gus Bassetti makes the whips, and he's one of the few men that's still in existence that makes cow whips. See?
Yeah. These are all things.
Dying arts.
Yeah, they are.
Dying art. Do you know what a 10-foot buckskin handmade whip would cost you today?
Oh, I know they're.
About $100, maybe $135.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They're very expensive because there aren't very many people around who know how to do that anymore. The whips.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Gus Bassetti is the whip maker.
Right.
Mr. Tree Eye is an expert horseman.
He's expert horseman, whip cracker.
Okay.
And he is really good at that stuff.
Okay. And what about, now, this is something, what about making tack? You know, for the horses and stuff like that.
All right.
Is there anybody who does
We have a man in our county, but he's not a Menorcan.
Uh-huh.
He does it. And he was the honored, I don't know what the honored.
Oh, Cracker Day?
Yeah.
Ray McCullough.
Yeah,
but Mr. Tree Eye probably might know somebody.
Yeah, right. Mr. Tree Eye. Just ask Mr. Tree Eye about Ray McCullough.
Okay.
And he builds saddles from the ground up.
Oh, that's
give
great.
Give him a cat face from a pine tree, and he'll and a couple of cow skins, and he'll build his own saddle. Now you think I'm kidding, but that's right.
Great.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to do that.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, you never think of that. You think you just buy.
Go to a machine shop. Go to a store. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Somebody does that.
Well,
What about fences, fence making and all that? I imagine all the farmers around.
Well, everybody was pretty well expertise in that. Of course, wasn't no fences built, you know, so to speak, until 1949 when Governor Warren had the no fence law passed. This was all open range around here.
Oh, I see. So you wouldn't really have...
See, now my family...
What did you do with your dairy cattle?
All right, now, we, our cows is on the fence for, well, all of my life, see.
Yeah, because wouldn't they wander away?
Oh, yeah. They'd occasionally they'd wander away, and we'd have to go out, say, close to Elton and pick one up. But the biggest thing they would do, they'd come out on the highway, and a car would hit them and get killed, or the railroads would hit them. See, the railroads was liable, you know, for the cows, and they killed them.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh. And if prior to 1949, if you was driving down the Picolata Road, and uh-huh. you hit one of my cows, I could sue you for hitting my cow, even though it killed you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But you did have fences.
Yeah, our dairy cow. But, however, we did let them out, you know what I mean, at uh-huh. times.
Yeah.
And let them. My cows, our dairy cows, used to roam all over what's now presently Ravenswood Drive, in the large subdivision in St. Augustine.
That was their range.
They used to go up Ben Gray's, yeah.
What kind of fences would you use?
Barbed wire, just strictly barbed wire, yeah.
Now, would you have to make your own, or
it's been readily commercially available all of my life.
Okay.
And an interesting thing that I'll tell you, you know, and maybe someone else might tell you, but I will tell you. I'm going to say... Well, specifically before the no-fence law passed, I supported Governor Barn when he did it because it was just too dangerous, you know, cows out there on the highway and you going down the road 40 miles an hour at 12 o'clock at night and you done put in the hospital. Well, back in those days, you could not get a cow man and a turpentine man to sit down at the same table.
Oh.
That ain't no joke.
I imagine if there was an open range.
Well, their interest, you know... wasn't parallel. You see the turpentine operator, he would go out there and he would put up his boxes, and he would, back in those days, they'd whore around the tree, you know, pull all the fuel from his tree about that far to keep, because their sole investment was in that turpentine tree, the cups and the labor and tins and so on and so forth. And then the cowman, he didn't care nothing about forestry or timber, turpentine. Yeah. So his primary concern, starting along about December after the first frost, he would go out there and he would stick the torch to St. John's County. And you, living in St. Augustine, you could look out your west window any night and see the whole western part of the county. Ask any of these old timers, they'll tell you.
Well, that's really interesting because those kinds of things, you know.
And then we had what I call him the great mediator. Yeah. Alan East.
Oh.
He's not a Menorcan. He is a professional forester.
Uh-huh.
The coming ex-Pelliceer brought him into our county. I'm going to guess about 1944.
Uh-huh.
He brought Alan East, who was a professional forester, into our county. And of course, Alan knew the value of timber, you see.
Right.
And none of us Menorcans had sense enough to know. so he made a millionaire at what we burnt, bulldozed over, destroyed, that old lowly pine tree.
Oh, yeah.
And he become a millionaire with it. But anyway, when Alan come into the county, he saw what was going on. And he started immediately trying to get the cow people and the turpentine people together, you know, to compromise this thing.
Yeah.
And he's been a member of the St. John's County Livestock Association ever since then, or close to it. And it's just been in the past 20 years that they'll even attend the same function.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, I'm not being over dramatic. Ask Albert Trujillo, he'll tell you.
No, I imagine that. Well, now, with the big cattle ranges and all, did they hire, like, did they have men who would work the cows, who would just kind of live in a...
All right, yeah, they'd live out on the range, yeah. Now, Albert Trujillo, he can tell you, he worked for S.A. Snyder all his life.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Snyder was a merchant.
Uh-huh.
And a man of great honor and compassion, I thought.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He was a Jew, mm-hmm. but a very outstanding citizen to me.
Yeah.
And Albert worked for him, I'm going to say for, when did Mr. Snyder die? What, 10 years ago?
Yes, it's been a long time.
Uh-huh. This is 82. Well, I'll say Albert worked for him for 40 years or over, maybe wow. over 40 years. And Mr. Snyder used to run cows on the open range from Daytona to Jacksonville.
Oh, dear. My goodness.
And just remember back in those days, the only community between St. Augustine and Daytona was Bunnell, which was just a little one-horse turpentine town.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine the vast open range that those boys had to work.
Sure. Yeah. So it would have been just like out west.
Exactly. Really. In other words, ranching really started here in Florida.
Right.
Yes, really.
A lot of people don't know
that. I know it. I know it. Where's that book I had? Where's that little blue book I had, Jamie?
Right there.
Yeah. See, did I show you that right there? 4 centuries of Florida ranching. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Now, this is...
That was published...
Oh, look at that. Now, does it have anything specifically on St. Augustine?
Yeah, just excuse me. Let me see.
That's right. Right.
See, somebody, if I had the money, I would do it.
Jamie.
Somebody around here should reinstitute a herd of longhorn cattle.
Yeah.
You know, because it's part of our heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Right here. Just read that one paragraph right there, and then I'll tell you about that.
Huh. Boy, St. Augustine to Tallahassee, that's a long way.
All right, this is the oldest road in the county right here.
Uh-huh.
And the last massacre of white people by Indians was done right down the corner there, about less than a half a mile right down there.
Papa.
A theatrical troupe was coming. Well, they come by steamer down St. John's River from Jacksonville to Picolata.
Mm-hmm.
And they got at Picolata and got on the stagecoach.
Uh-huh.
And coming down to Picolata Road, PICOLATA.
Okay,
PICOLATA.
Uh-huh. And they were coming down there.
And when they got right down here at my farm, some Indians ambushed them and killed them all.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
When would that have been?
I'm going to take you down and show you that historical plaque, but I've read that thing 1,000 times and I can't. I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Darn. I'll take you down there and let you read it. But anyway, about 6 months later, those Indians showed up in St. Augustine wearing the theatrical costumes.
Oh, yeah. They thought they got a real booty, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, they gave themselves away.
Yeah, they sure did. Okay.
Well, this is really interesting. Now, is that kind of a cow?
That's a good grade cow. But I want to tell you about this right here.
Uh-huh.
This, What did we see? They used to raise cows. See, the Seminole, and I might be a little off.
Uh-huh.
The Florida Indians, I believe it was
could have been Seminole.
Well, it was one of these Indian tribes around here was not at war with the white man, see. And they quickly developed a relationship with the Spanish and raised cows over on Payne's Prairie, see.
Oh, yeah.
You know where that is. All right, they used to drive the cows up the west bank of the St. John's River and got right here at Picolata. See, this used to be an Indian trail. That's how it comes there.
Was it a ford in the river?
The shallowest point was there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they would swim the cows across the St. John's at Picolata.
Uh-huh.
And drive them down here to Castillo.
Mm-hmm.
Castillo de San Marcos and load them on boats and send them to Spain right down this road here. And let me see. see right here, read that paragraph right there.
Shortly but, after Christmas. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, they were punished for their friendliness.
Yeah, I bet.
But this Bellamy, darn, I can't think of his name. Anyway, he built this road from here to Tallahassee, you know, to after Florida became a state. He was given a contract in, what the heck was his name? Paul D. Camp, St. Aug completion.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You know, our, I know the Spanish are noted as very good horsemen. Are Menorcans also noted that way, or...
Some, I would say. See, now there's a section on St. John's County right there.
Oh, yeah.
I have never been horse-oriented myself. I tried, but every time I tried, I'd always get hurt. My horse sense wasn't too much. But the Pacettis and Albert Trei, they were very successful horse people in
That's something.
Yeah, and they got, you know, off into the horse race and recreational phase of it and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, well, that's great. So we'll have to, What about any special clothing for that kind of work? Chaps and stuff like
that? No, I don't think. They never went in. The spurs, they went in, you know, for the spurs and the whips and the hat. But I've only seen, you know, just one or two guys where use chaps in this part of the country.
What about, do they still use whips now?
Oh, absolutely.
Are there people still that can really...
What's the guy's name that cracks whips?
Leo Kite. He's not.
But he's not a...
Menorcan.
But he can pop it. Oh, really?
Well, he can cut a cigarette out your mouth with it.
Oh, really?
Absolutely, yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, Leo Kite, yeah. And that Ray McCullough is someone in his background far enough, he might have some Menorcan heritage.
That could be.
That saddle builder, he's been here all his life. Mm-hmm. He's been here all his life. And
Is there any particular type of music that the Menorcans are noted for? Do you know?
No, again, I was not musically oriented. I don't, do you know of any, Gaby? Now, my grandfather, he played the fiddle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, real good. But
yeah, I've got my grandfather's.
Oh, really? Ah, well, maybe somebody will.
Yeah, where is that at? You ought to have it. It was in a couple of pieces, wasn't it?
No, it just doesn't have the string on it. It doesn't have the strings on it. I'd like to have it restrung. I'd like to have it put in one of those velvet frames, you know, mounted.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to do that.
Well, you surely ought to take care of it. I forgot about that.
Yeah, or maybe one of the grandchildren will become a fiddle player. Never can tell.
Well, I'd love to have it mounted on burgundy velvet. I can just see it done. But it costs money.
Oh, yes. Anything does nowadays. And would you say that most of the Menorcans in the community, do they go to the cathedral?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have any special services for the? I suppose the Menorcan Day and everything is special. I don't know.
Where is that telephone book I brought back from Spain? I'd like for her to see that.
Book in the bookcase.
How long did you stay over there?
We was over there 2 or 3 days. Weeks. 16
wow.
days.
Our oldest daughter was there 7 weeks.
Wow.
She went between her junior and senior year in high school, and she stayed at the University of Madrid, and they went all those side trips from out of there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Sure, with that National Honor Scholastic Society.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Now, did they went to the island of Menorca, too?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't Karen go to the island?
Yeah, she went all over. Mm-hmm. All over Spain.
And she is a home economics teacher up in Scriven County, Georgia now.
Oh, that's great.
She had the, you didn't keep
4-H.
That piece of paper,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, it's on the table in there.
It is.
She was big 4-H'er. She won every trip she could win in 4-H. She did everything possible in 4-H.
Where is that phone book at? Let me see if I can...
Out there in the bookcase.
In the
yeah,
right
the
there by
porch.
The telephone. Let's see. Would you know if you've seen it? Let me see if I can get it short.
Okay. Well, I was just saying the 4-H does a lot, too, to to helping people keep lost on these things. I was the one thing I've been real disappointed of, though, is that I just really can't seem to find anybody who does the handwork. But so it's good to know this lady who does the crochet work, because that is a start.
Yeah, they don't do it in 4-H.
No.
See, her big thing was flower arranging. They did it in horticulture and vegetable judging. Those were her two things. Look on the buffet right there and get that Karen's picture. The piece of paper is there about the 4-H week.
On the buffet.
Yeah. But, I mean, they go in for vegetable judging, beef judging, and horticulture and stuff like that. You know, there's really... Well, now, she went all the way to state with her clothing. Because she makes every stitch of clothes she wears.
Wow.
And she won, see, they used to have it where you could only win in one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she would always go for the thing that gave the best trip. But clothing, one year her outfit was so good, they had to give her the second thing because you could not see, she did not have a raw seam, you could not find a seam nowhere in her dress and her coat. She made a coat to go with the dress.
Oh my God.
And they had to give her, they gave her special recognition because she could award inside out. And never, but she had two complete outfits in one outfit.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
Now here is a telephone directory of Mahan Minorca.
Oh, that's where... Where y'all started from.
Now, the chief of police give it to me. And very discreetly, he asked me not to show it to no one, because obviously they're very scarce and something are costly. But I asked him, you know, if I could get one, go to the telephone company and get one. He said no. He says I'm going to give you this one right here. And he stuck it in a bag for me and asked me, you know, to be very quiet about it until I get back.
Is that what it looks like?
Yeah, this is...
But
yeah.
See, they still spell Alzina, the original spelling, A-L-Z-I-N-A. See,
yeah, this
changed over the years.
Oh, really?
This is a harbor, but I just happen to open it up right here and see right there's one of your Minorcan names, Sagi.
Oh, yeah?
Now, they did not change the spelling of their name, see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Sagis, there's lots of them over there. Well, you can just see how many of them.
All of the names have been changed. Uzina, Pacetti.
Pacetti hasn't been changed.
Yes, it most certainly has. It's
P-A-X-E-T-Y. You can see all throughout the book, see the Sagis in here. Let me see if I can. Now, they, over there to this day, they spell our name A-L-Z-I-N-A.
That's the original spelling.
A-L-Z-I-N-A.
That's on the coat of arms.
Yeah, and I'll show it to you in here if I can.
Why was it changed when it came out?
It was changed three times.
It was.
So now it's U-S-I-N-A.
U-S-I-N-A.
But before that, it would have been like on this. It's U-L-S-I-N-A.
I didn't know that.
Here. See, it says Dora Yulcina, U-L.
Well, that's U-S-I-N-A.
It's not U-L-S-I-N-A?
No, that's
Oh, okay. I was just reading that.
Now they spelt, that's just the way he made his U, see.
Okay.
It sure.
It looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Whoever put her name on here done it just like Johnny did it, Gabby. I never noticed that before. See there? But it sure looks like a UL, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't. USI. It's just the way he made his L. But anyway, this banker over there, that he was one of our chaperones while he was over there, you know, that went around with us. Mr. Pellissier, he's the leader of all this, see, so he can really tell you. He's personal friends with
that. How many people went over?
30. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
30, I believe 30. And this Dr. Rubio, he has a St. John's County tag in Spain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on his Cadillac. But you'll get a kick out of talking to X. Now, that's a treasure.
Yeah,
I
know.
I insist that you go talk to him.
Well, we are. We've got an appointment with him tomorrow.
Good, yeah. And he and I, we sort of rub each other wrong. He's a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, and I'm a Republican by choice.
Uh-huh.
I'm the only Minorcan Republican in the county.
Well,
I made a promise with the Lord, but he didn't ratify it, that I was in the Battle of Iwo Jima, and I told him if I survived that I'd come back and help preserve the two-party system.
Oh, And well, that's a good way of doing it. So you become the odd man out here. Yeah. The Republican Party.
I'm making some of these guys cringe right now. I want to show you this now before you leave.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah. That banker, he would take me all over the place up there and introduce me as Mr. Alzina.
Oh, I imagine, because they...
All right here they are. I got them marked. Well, wasn't that lucky? I'm going to put this pin here. Haven't looked at this thing in years. Now, this is probably some of my ancestors right here.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right there.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Alzina. Well, that's something... That's real interesting, because I know within the Department of State where I work, they've been talking about, you know, trying to help get a sister city program set up.
And, well, that's what X did. See, we have
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what... That's. I think they're... In fact, the Department of State is going to try to help Mr. Pelissier mm-hmm. in doing some exchange type thing.
See, they... See, Dr. Rubio, when you go back uptown, go to the cathedral, mm-hmm. and right on the west side of the cathedral, you see that big statue there in the west side of the cathedral.
Right, of Father Camp.
Yeah, uh-huh. And yeah. It's got the names of all the Menorcan families on it.
Uh-huh.
Every Menorcan family. And then we went to Spain and dedicated the statue just like that one over there in Spain.
Oh, that's great.
That's what we went over there for, under Mr. Pelissier's leadership. He was the one that... It probably cost him $50,000, maybe more.
Yeah.
But,
well, that is really... But, I've got an appointment that I have to get through. In fact, I was going to ask you, did you know that there's probably somebody who's related to you? There's a Billy Uzina who works for Anastasia's.
Oh, yeah, Park. Yeah. All right.
And he makes castmets.
Yeah, I don't believe it was about four different Uzina families in this county, and Mrs. Barnes could tell you more about it than I could. There was our family, there was Frank Uzina's family over on the beach.
Right.
There was Rafe Uzina's family in Woodlawn, R-A-F-E.
Oh, R-A-F-E.
Yeah, Rafe Uzina.
And where are they, in Woodlawn?
Woodlawn. They was in this. They had a small dairy, too, just like we did.
Uh-huh.
And then there was...
Well, Hope Street.
Well, that's part of Rafe's family. What is Vivian Uzina?
Vivian
Uzina.
Uh-huh.
Now,
and where...
He
live out in Iroquois Park.
Now he does, but his dad run a hardware store on St. George Street. All right. Now, Vivian's, that coat, where's that book I got from that lady sent me from? Darn, I'd like for her to see that if I got, but I don't know where it is. There was a Cobe Herbert Uzina. He published during about 1925, he was publishing some little pamphlets on St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady down in the central part of the state,
mm-hmm.
wrote the Chamber of Commerce that she had one of them.
Uh-huh.
And they turned her over to me, and I immediately contacted her, and she turned it over to me. I have it in my possession now.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm going to give it to the Historical Society.
Right.
Just like I'm going to put that deed in the Historical Society.
Sure. Well, that's wonderful. It's wonderful to have that. Most families don't have those kinds of things.
That's right. Have a deed, you know, and still some of your family members still living on the same piece of property.
Yeah.
And the irony of it, I alienate the wife every time I say these things. There, a Republican president gave my great-grandmother a piece of land in St. Johns County 100 years ago, and now I'm out beating the bushes in 1982 trying to get Republicans elected.
Yeah.
Think of the irony of it.
I know. Well, you go a long way back with the Republican Party.
No, I don't. Well, I just joined right after World War II.
But still, that's great. But, well, I sure do appreciate all your help. What was I going to say?